Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless.
I did not know exactly what he was going to do, but he gave me a little bit of like an inkling when I was praying concerning today, and he told me that he was going to reveal his intimacy in this place. And so I saw literally the angels of the Lord being loosed, walking throughout the aisles and touching the hearts and the minds of his people, and he showed up today. So regardless of how I even come forth and bring forth the word, I want you to know that he's with you, that he sees you, that he's already met you here. He's already met you here. So thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We honor you. We honor your presence. We thank you for meeting us here on this day, simply by just waking us up, allowing us to inhale and to exhale. We thank you, Lord. He's a good father. And today is Father's Day, so shout out to our dads. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to Abba. And I want to give honor as well to Apostle Latina Johnson. In her absence, I am stepping in. We really had a servant leader takeover. We've been taking over, moving in the fruit of our discipleship, and so I just want to give honor to her. Apostle, if you're watching, hello, ma'am, God bless you. Keep her travels covered, y'all, okay? Keep her lifted in the area of rest, that she's replenished, that she comes back full of fire, full of glory, but also full of being God's daughter. Before she is apostle, before she is prophet, she is still our sister in Christ. She is still his daughter. And so we just uplift her. Amen. So if you do not know me, my name is Essence. I've been serving with the ministry here for quite some time. I got saved when I was 18 years old in my kitchen after graduating high school. And probably about a year and a half later, I ended up discovering this podcast called Flawed and Free. And there was this woman speaking with such fire, and she was saying things that had only been revealed to me in my prayer closet. It was things I had never heard of. I knew I was not interested in religion because I was experiencing the Holy Spirit in a way that no one had discussed. And so I got deliverance at this ministry, and a couple months later, I was asked to come on board and to be trained up as a deliverance minister. And so that's kind of how my journey has started here. And speaking of journeys, I'm actually going to take you a little bit through my own personal journey. That's what the Lord wants me to do. So just walk with me. I don't know what all he's going to do. I got my little notes, but he said, baby, you might have to abort. And so, look, y'all. So we're just going to go on a journey together. So I ask you to be open. I ask you to allow the portals of heaven to open up upon you. The presence of the Lord is already here. So all you got to do is continue to jump in the river and swim. Swim. So today's message is called, or the name of it is, The Secret Weapon Forged in the Secret Place. Father God, Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for being here today. We thank you for the fire and the glory that is in our midst. We thank you, oh God, for meeting us in the area of deliverance and of healing and of intimacy. May we know you more. May we draw closer to you, God, like never before. May we uncover the layers of your presence. Father God, that what we thought we knew of you, you continue to unfold, continue to reveal the mysteries and the secrets of heaven. Father God, continue to equip us in this place in the name of Jesus Christ. I cover every wall, I cover every door, I cover every seat in the blood of Jesus. In the blood of Jesus. In the blood of Jesus Christ. I say that every word, Father God, that has gone forth and that will continue to go forth is covered in your blood, that it will not be snatched up by the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, for taking us up. We thank you, God, for allowing us to see you, to know you, to be one with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all. I hope y'all are ready. Thank you for gracing me with your presence. So I mentioned the title about the secret weapon forged in the secret place. That is my journey. After I got saved, I immediately found my spirit man pulled into a place of prayer that I had never known. And maybe some of you can attest to this. I'm pretty sure you can, right? But I remember being completely just transformed. My mind and my heart, my body, my desires. And he's still continuing to do that even deeper. Deep calls out unto deep. And so even as you continue to step into the deeper things of God, there's still more depth to go into. But with that being said, I noticed myself becoming a weapon in prayer. And I believe this is something that the Lord wants to impart as well today. That you have to allow yourself to be forged, even in the fire, even when it's a little too hot, even when you feel like you want to run, when he's tugging on your heart, telling you to forgive those that have wounded you, it's forging you. When he's telling you to put down the alcohol or the weed or even the food and those things that you find pleasure and comfort in, it's because he's forging you. It's not a punishment, but it's because he is molding and shaping you into his image and his likeness. Yes, you are already that, but he's calling you to a greater glorified state in his presence. He's wanting to forge your mind and the way you think. Those certain triggers when people say certain things and you find yourself reverting back to rejection. You find yourself reverting back to betrayal. You find yourself as a child going back to those memories where you were abandoned. He wants to heal that. He wants to restore that. He wants to forge you. And so in the place of prayer, I found myself before the Lord completely naked in my heart and spiritually. It was this place of intimacy that I had never experienced with another person. He had to completely undress my mind. He had to completely undress my heart. The very walls that were up, he had to knock it down. And the more I yielded, the more he allowed me to accelerate in my process. So there were times when I was afraid to pray. And he would say, open up your mouth. And I would, and he said, no, open up your mouth. And I'm, and literally, I would feel the fire of God be loosed out of my tongue. Next thing you know, I'm interceding for my family. I'm interceding for my neighbors. I'm interceding for friends who had left me, people who had abandoned me. It was almost as if I had received a complete heart transplant, where I was so consumed with myself, so consumed with how I felt, so consumed with how I looked. And in the place of prayer, in the secret place, in the place of intercession, he birthed out another side of me that I knew he had called me to. You know, maybe you were in the world, I know that's for me, and you knew that there was something deeper. You knew that there was something more to life. And even at times when you thought there wasn't, even at times where you thought it was hopeless, that was a lie, but you always knew deep down that there was more. It's because he's called you for more. And you're here now, so congratulations. By the way, if there's anyone in here that is not saved, you can receive the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive that free gift. And even if the enemy is coming against your mind trying to tell you that you're not saved, we can deal with that too, because it's a gift that is freely given. You don't have to strive for it. You don't have to strive for it. But nevertheless, he had me birthing out who he had called me to be. And he still is. It's a journey. It's going to continue to go. So if you ever think that there was a stopping point, you looking at somebody else in their process, and you're like, oh, I want to be like them. I want to pray like them. Oh, I want to have a zeal and a fire like them. Guess what? They're still going. It does not stop. Until the day of Christ Jesus, he will continue to shape you. He will continue to forge you. He will continue to make you. There's a reason for that. And so as I was preparing, the Lord was saying, where are my lovers? Not just ones who are filled with deep wells of intimacy, but holy reverence for my word and my commands. He says that he's calling to equip, to prepare, and to transform. And so today I come before you as an invitation. I don't know what he's going to invite you into today, but I want you to listen to him. He's going to speak to you. So make sure you got your ears perked up. Even in your heart, there's some of you even right now where he's been saying like a specific phrase or a specific word, repetition, even as worship and prayer was going forth. Pay attention to that. Write it down and listen to what the Lord God is saying. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, and I'm going to be reading out of the KJV. It says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Many times people have read the word closet in this passage of scripture. And I guess in our modern day and time, it's something very popular. I know I speak to it a lot, just in my own personal journey of the closet, how I go to the closet, I stay in the closet, I stay on my knees. I've got water and snacks in there, blankets and pillows. It's my favorite place to be, quite frankly. But closet in this text actually translates to chamber. And it means that it's a type of private room or a storage room for valuables. And specifically in Jewish homes, these inner rooms often had no windows. It was completely closed off. No one could look out and no one could look in. That whoever entered in was completely secluded. And so it was known, like I made mention to, for storing valuables such as oil and grain, different types of treasures, and possessions that were kept there. And again, they were protected. They were hidden. It was also known as a place for privacy. And so how these Jewish homes were actually built, kind of their culture, families lived together. So it was very uncommon to have your own little spot where you could dip off and just be. You might as well just leave the house if that's the case. But there were certain houses that were built with chambers. Even when we look in the book of Acts, the upper room, that was actually a type of chamber that was built. And it's so interesting because even the secret place, it will open up for other believers to come in and be unified, for the Lord to speak and the Lord to deposit. But that's mainly what the chambers in those homes were. It was also known as a place of protection, and it was also considered the safest room in the house. So if there was danger, if anyone needed to retreat, they could go and hide in that secret place. And it's very interesting. You might even be thinking as I'm talking, you're like, yeah, that's right. That makes sense. Because even in scripture, it talks about how he covers us, how he hides us. And it's true. God is very intentional that even the patterns we see here in the earth, it is because of what has already been in heaven and through his intentions. So Jesus actually taught that there is power available in the secret place, but he did not just speak it, but he demonstrated it as well. In scripture, he often withdrew. He often withdrew. And I want you to ask yourself, Lord, have I been withdrawing to be with you? Or have I been withdrawing to be with other people and other things? And keep in mind, you yourself, you are a treasure to God. You are valuable. You are protected. And he has provided different types of provisions and tools to assist you in your journey. But what is developed here in the secret place, it actually becomes a spiritual weapon that impacts what will be revealed and poured out publicly. It's time to return back to the place of his face. Return back to the place of his face. And go back truly to seeking him above all else. I want to talk a little bit about even the presence of God. The first mention of the presence of God was actually in Genesis chapter 3. I believe it was verse 18. But it was when Adam and Eve had sinned, the serpent came into the garden, and it speaks to, they heard the sound of the footsteps of the Lord. And they hid themselves from his presence. Presence actually in the Hebrew is panim, and it means face, the face of God. So even as we were worshiping, it was not solely just the presence of God, because a lot of times that term can be watered down, especially in the church. Oh, the presence of God. Girl, I felt the presence of God when you came in here. Lord, I felt the presence of God when worship went forth. Oh, the presence of God. And yes, the presence of God is powerful, but understanding it in its original term carries much potency. It actually means face. So the face of God was actually here. He had his face turned towards you as you yielded. So don't let the enemy lie to you and tell you that God does not see you. Every time you show up before the Father, he sees you. Is he not El Rohi? That's another thing too. One of the many names of God. One of the names that he chose to reveal himself to Hagar. His eyes are in every place. His presence is in every place. His face is in every place. When you are going to work, when you are feeding your children, when you are here today, when you go home, everywhere. Even in the most intimate areas that you don't think anyone sees, his face is there. His face represents blessing. His face also represents favor. And his face also shines. It's the glory of the Lord. And that too can be felt. So it's not just something that you hear, but it is literally a manifestation that can be pulled down and felt. I'll never forget one time. I was actually sleeping. And this was when I was like a new believer and things of that sort. And I heard someone mention like 3 a.m. prayer time, watch times, all those things. And I knew that the Lord, he would wake me up at specific times early in the morning. I did not know like the logistical stuff behind it. I didn't know the specific terms. I just know that the Holy Spirit was leading me. So I would wake up sometimes at 12. There would be other times when I would be up at 5 a.m. There would be other times when I just felt led to even just pray like midday, afternoon. I had no reason why. I literally had no language for it. I just knew, okay, he's calling me, he's calling me. I remember one time I was in the kitchen washing dishes. And he completely interrupted even my work, my routine. And I remember hearing the whisper, come away and be with me. He said, come away and be with me. And I remember just feeling this fire in my belly. It was like this desire, this raging desire for someone that I deeply loved. And I went away, and I went with him, and he'd be like, I have something to tell you. He says, come away and be with me. And then I would get in my closet, and I'd be like, I'm here, Lord. I was like, what you gonna tell me? I'd be like, I'm here. And he would literally begin to just pour. He would tell me at times, too, he'd be like, before you go in your closet, he'd be like, get your pen and get your notebook. Me now, I stay ready, okay? Stay ready so you don't gotta get ready. So, baby, it's already in the closet now as we speak. I have several journals, several notebooks, literally documenting my life with the Lord. We read about the different documentations and the testimony and the different witnesses that are in the Bible. You're reading about their journey. You're reading about Ezekiel. You're reading about Jeremiah. You're reading about Daniel. There are going to be others that will read your life. It may not necessarily be written naturally with a pen, but every time you talk, you are writing things in the realm of the spirit. Every time you talk, there is an angelic hand that is writing and scribing on your behalf. Every time you speak and you intercede, things are being deposited into the earth. So it's not just other people that are looking at your life, but the angelic hosts, they are looking at your life as well. And the Lord God is also examining your life. There is a book concerning you. And I'm actually about to go a little bit off the rocker. I just want to say, I heard, you were literally sitting behind me, and I heard the Lord make mention. He said, since you publicly affirmed me, publicly acknowledged me, he says he wants to publicly acknowledge you as well. And I know it has been a hard fight. I know. But he says you have support. His eye has been upon you. Ever since a little girl, of course, before you were formed in your mother's womb, he says, I know who I created and called you to be. You will move powerfully in the area of deliverance. I saw swords coming out of your mouth, but he says he needs to train you how to use them. The reason why the enemy has been coming against your mind and your possessions, even the work of your hands, is because of what has yet to be unlocked in the realm of the spirit. And he's going to teach you how to break down and destroy certain altars in your bloodline. But I literally saw you. It was almost like this timeline. And I don't necessarily want to put like a time on it. I would say maybe in a couple months, if you truly yield, you are not going to look the same. You're not. But you must stay in position. The back and forth, the fear, the going uphill and then downhill. The God, I trust you. God, this is hard. God, what do I do? He says he hears everything. He hears everything. And you will be risen up as a mighty one. You already are, but you have yet to truly see it. And it has yet to be fully unveiled, of course. But he just wanted to thank you, even for showing up today. And even behind the scenes when no one is looking, you stay the course. He loves you, and he sees you. And it is finished in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank God. Amen. So the secret place is not merely a physical room, even though I made mention of kind of like the historical background and context. I'm sorry. That's kind of like how I am. I love to know like why a thing was created, the root of it. So it's not just a physical room or a space that you make in your home. Yes, it is important to have a place like that where you can go and run away and hide, like I did. And he would be like, come away and be with me. And I see my mom shaking her head in the back. Yes. I'll be cooking dinner. And he'd be like, come and be with me.
I'm coming.
I was like, I love you. I love him so deeply. And in this secret place, it's not just a place, but it's a person. Because really, it's a realm that you're stepping into. It's a person that you're stepping into. It's a place of intimacy. It's a place of becoming. It's a place of forging. It's a place where you are trained up and developed in prayer. It is also a place of, what's the word, Holy Spirit? Of deployment of what is being released in prayer. So it's not just forging you, but it's also equipping you and sending you and building you up in who he has created you to be. You'll see a lot of times worship go forth in this realm. Surrender. Him teaching you how to listen to his voice. And again, you being transformed by his presence. In Psalm 91, verse 1, it says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is where we learn how to live under God's covering. Learn how to live under his protection and his authority. This was actually a place created just for you. His presence, his face. He loves to turn his face towards his people. He loves looking at you. He smiles at you every day. His thoughts concerning you, they are numerous, more than you could ever count, more than you could ever think of. It was created for you, custom made, tailor made. And when you run from his presence, you're running from what was made for you and what you were made to take hold of, what you were made to become, what was made what was made for you before the foundations of the earth. So do not deny or run away from your identity. It's a chamber that you and God have access to, and it's a place of meeting, strategy and blueprints and insight. If you ask him for wisdom, he will give it to you. But do not be double-minded and ask in faith. Ask in faith. Something that I had discovered when I was even running away with my lover was where he would literally give me strategy for whatever it was, whether my job, maybe something was happening, or even next steps. He would literally have me go and take note of the strategy and the insight that he was releasing. Now, I'm saying that he couldn't do this, you know, in the car. Wherever it is the Lord is leading you, again, because the secret place, it's a realm, but it's also a person. And he goes with us everywhere. So it's not like, oh, you go into your room or you go into the closet and you just leave it. No, it goes with you. But this, of course, was a separated, consecrated place between me and him, literally to the point to where I will not wear shoes in my closet. I took all my clothes out because of how deeply I honor his presence. You'll have me go in and anointed, of course, and things of that sort. But I will not have anything in there. It is literally my Bible and my journal. No shoes at all. I made mention to the pillows and the blanket because sometimes I will find myself taking naps or falling asleep. And the presence and the intimacy of God is so close to you. It's like your next breath. Many people, it's hard for them even to receive that because it's like, how? I can't see him. How is he an actual person? I can't see him. He is a person. He's a person with a personality. He speaks to you. He talks with you. He walks with you. Even the disciples, they said, did our hearts not burn within us as he walked with us, as he talked with us? That is God's desire for you. And even if you're like, oh, yeah, I have that relationship with the Lord, there's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. So even at times when the enemy tries to come at you in your mind, any heaviness, any depression, any anxiety to try to pull you out of that place, you must desire it more than anything. Seek ye the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Seek him. Seek him. There are many things that come in our life to distract us. But I guarantee you that the presence of God, the face of God, that chamber in the Holy Ghost, he will give you the strategy and the insight that you need for your life. Even at times when it's trying and when it's testing, he is fortifying you. He is forging you. He is preparing you. He is equipping you. He's developing you. It's almost like a womb. Literally. In the natural, we were in our mother's womb being developed and knitting. But he still develops us. It's very interesting because we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And he still develops us. He still matures us. He still grows us. He is our nourishment. He is the one who supplies for us. In John chapter 15, he is the true vine. We are the branches. He is the vine. Connected to him, there is life, and life more abundantly. If you disconnect yourself from him, there is guaranteed death. There's death in your mind. There's death spiritually. In places and areas where you were like, oh, wow, in this season, when I was reading my word, oh, when I was praying, when I was making it an absolute, just like, I need to be with God. It was a priority. I could not neglect this. There was a difference even in how you thought. There was a difference in your faith. There was even a difference in how you situations and things. But the moment that you find yourself not withdrawing to be with him, but withdrawing to be with the distractions, withdrawing to be with the things of this world, even though they may look like God, maybe it's like, oh, well, I'm going to help this person, but he says, no, I need you to turn that down real quick, and I need you to be with me. Oh, well, I need to pray for this person. No. Understand warfare. Not every war is yours to step into. I know you have a very loving heart. I know sometimes that you even want to fix the problem, but he says, no, release it, surrender it. I am the solution. I will do what I need to do. You lay that down and you come and be with me. So remember to withdraw with him like Jesus did. Instead of withdrawing into those rooms in your mind that you thought you closed the door to and threw away the key, but that the enemy keeps knocking at for you to open up. Instead, you need to go run and hide in the secret place. That's where your protection is. That's where your covering is. That's where your strength is. That's where you pull from the wells of heaven. That's where you find your fire and prayer. When the enemy is coming against your mind, when he's attacking your dream life, that is where you go. You step into the person. And really, we should never be stepping out. But let's be honest, there are times when we do. But it's about understanding your posture in Christ. You are in Christ Jesus, a new creature in Christ Jesus, not outside of Christ Jesus, not around Christ Jesus, not in and out every moment or every now and then in Christ Jesus. But no, it's a place that you have to find yourself seated in, positioned in. Because when God looks at you, he does not solely just look at Sierra. He does not solely just look at Amber or Nana or Tyra. But he sees his son. He sees his son. So the secret place is a place of communing. It's a place of protection as well. And to step into this place, you must learn how to dwell. You have to live here and not just visit occasionally. How often do you go throughout your week and distractions come, and then you find yourself complaining and crying and throwing a temper tantrum, and you're mad and you're like, well, God, I can't hear. God, I can't see. God, I don't know where you're sending me. But you're not dwelling in that place in him. You're not living in that place with him. Keyword with. It means to accompany. Now, the Holy Ghost, he's with us. That's for sure. But how many times have you left him out of your mind? Left him out of the decision? Because of your emotions? Because you feel a little erratic? Because you feel like, well, I've done this before. I'll do it again just by way of experience. But you do not allow yourself to be with him or him to be with you, him to accompany you. So you must dwell here. You must live there. If you're in your house, you live at your house. And I'm not talking about a vacation home. I mean your residence. You're there. You cook there. You sleep there. You chill there. You get dressed there. You shower there. It's constant. It's the same with God. And I don't want to hear either, I don't have the time, because you do. You make time for the ones that you love.
All right, make time.
You make times for the ones you want to build a relationship with. If you really have somewhere to go and to be, you're going to make time for it. We do that in the natural if we have an appointment. And they put pressure on you. and they like, oh, you got this little grace period or whatever, or we gonna fine you if you don't get here on time. You're gonna make time for it so that you're there. You're gonna show up early. But we don't do the same thing with God. We have an appointment in the natural, but we are not taking it as serious as our appointment in the spirit. He says, I have somewhere for you to be. I have somewhere for you to go. I have somewhere for you to become, for you to grow. We must have the same heart posture. And I'm not just speaking to you or at you, but I'm speaking as well to myself. That this is something that we must have. That regardless of how long we are serving the Lord, or even how familiar we get with prayer, how familiar we get with worship, every time we open our eyes, it should truly be a thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That intimacy, that oil, that you don't forget your encounters with him. And even the encounters that he did give you, that you don't get comfortable in it. You expect him to show up the same way. And he tells you, come away and be with me. And you're like, oh, I know what this is. No, you don't. He got something else. He has something else for you. He loves you. He loves you. He's the lover of your soul. Where you can truly rest in him and be in him and yield to him. That even when other people or the things of this world had wounded and hurt you, that he heals you, that he restores you, that he provides for you, that he keeps you, that he covers you, that he is your provider. And so when you dwell and live in this place and in this person, he takes care of you. You might have a house. You might be a little apartment, little townhome, whatever the case may be. Pay your mortgage, pay rent. But I want to say something. We do not own ourselves. We are the vessels, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so if we do not own ourselves, but he is the owner, then why do you think that he is not going to take care of you? You are not your own, but the reason why you don't believe it is because there's still something in the back of your head that tries to claim ownership. That flesh tries to claim ownership. But you have to kill that thing. He put you here in the earth as his representative. He put you here in the earth to take dominion, but you don't think he'll give you the power to take dominion? He called you and you answered, but you don't think that he's going to strengthen you and equip you and build you for the call?
Yeah, that's good.
Sometimes we take on the burden of trying to do everything ourselves, everything on our own. Why? Because we're still trying to take ownership. And sometimes it's like, well, I'm trying to be integrous and I'm trying to be responsible. And he's like, stop. He's like, be my child. Yes, you are maturing me. Yes, you are growing in me. But still allow me to be in the driver's seat. I told you to do this and you stepped out on faith, but you don't think I'm going to meet you there. So we are not owners of ourselves. Yes, we must be accountable to what we do and different things of that sort. And he's still so merciful that even when we do certain things, it's not the fullness of his wrath, per se, or the consequences that we endure. But our life is not our own. And so what area of your life have you taken ownership of? In the sense of, I can do it myself. That you have not allowed him to come in and be the rightful owner. He will show up for you in ways that you could never even think of or imagine. And And so in the secret place, it requires you to sit, to remain, and to stay. In your mind and in your heart. And sometimes the Lord will literally tell you to put your hands down. Now it's different for everybody. I don't know. Maybe you're a little busybody. Okay? Me, I can kind of relate, but at the same time, I like to chill. But there have been several times where he would be like, just rest. Just be. Just sit. Just remain. Just stay. Just dwell. Just reside in me. And it's not an unproductive place. It's not a unproductive even activity per se. But if anything, abiding in God, it's one of the most active things that we could ever do. So even when I made mention to Jesus in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, he often withdrew into the wilderness and he prayed. And although he could have been preaching, although he could have been teaching, although he could have been using that extra time to do things for the kingdom of God, right? Healing the sick, casting out demons, doing what he needed to do in the temple, traveling and going different places, he made it a priority to withdraw and to pray and to be with his Father. And so Jesus Christ, even being the perfect man, fully God and fully man, needing the Holy Ghost just like you and I do, needing prayer just like you and I do, he literally had a pattern. And he was consistent in it, in praying, but not in the way of vain repetitions, but literally communing and talking with his Father. Fully God, fully man, the very visible image of the invisible God, would withdraw to the wilderness and pray often. So every time, even that we step outside of God, we detach ourselves from him. Think even of Adam and Eve, how stepping outside of the presence and the counsel of God and the instruction of God, they did it by way of disobedience. They were cut off from the source of life, really. And so we do not want to find ourselves in that place. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. The blood that reconciles us. We are reconciled. We can repent. We can renounce. That word re. It actually needs to go back again, to do over. That was not something that we had the ability and the opportunity to do. If you really look in the Old Testament. And so it's like, how much more do we have in God through the Holy Ghost, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that he did what we could not do? We try to make ourselves righteous and perfect and look the part and act the part and try to be everything that we are and what he's called us to be. But he's like, I was already made perfect for you. I just need you to step into me. I just need you to take on truly the character and the image of who I am. It is not up to us. And so God's presence is a place where we are forged. It's a place where we are formed. And intimacy actually produces authority. And so that's the first weapon I want to share. Secret weapon forged in the secret place. Intimacy produces authority. Know God, you have intimacy with God, and we say in the name of Jesus, We come in the name of Jesus. We don't come in our own names. The sons of Sceva, they did not have that intimacy with the Lord. They did not know him. He did not recognize them. But they wanted to come in the name of the God whom Paul preaches. And they got tore up. But I want you to know that the secret place does come with benefits. And not solely for you to eat off of, but for who you are and what you are called to push and to birth and to sow into the earth for the next generation, for your family, for your bloodline. And so that's authority. That's something that he's giving you. That's something that he's placing in your hands. So even Alexis, when the Lord was ministering to her, it was not just deliverance that was going forth, but it was literally a transaction that was happening in the realm of the spirit. That as he was delivering her from certain areas of bondage or whatever the case that may have been, he was returning back to her authority. He was placing it back in her hand. It was a transaction. He was pulling and removing things out, but he was also placing things back within her for her journey, for her life, for her walk in Christ, for her boys, for her family, for her bloodline, for her call. Him even returning things back to your voice. He's going to extend your voice. Stretch your voice out. Literally amplify it. For his glory. Every time you cry out. Every time you cry out. Every time you pray. Every time you open up your mouth. Even in the area of evangelism. You're going to be talking and having conversations. And people just going to walk by you and be like, wait, tell me more. What you talking about, girl? I need to know. Hold on. She talking about Jesus. She talking about the Holy Ghost. And she looking cute. She doing this. She laughing. She joyful. There's literally almost like a magnet in your voice. There's a magnet in your voice. That those that are called to you, you're not going to have to do anything. It's going to literally be a magnetic pull. But it's from the kingdom of heaven. All you gotta do is walk by and shoot. Shoot.
Come on now.
And so intimacy produces authority. It's by way of our birthright, by way of inheritance. And even a greater weight is released in intimacy. And Jesus' public authority flowed from his private fellowship with his Father. Happy Father's Day. Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Like I had made mention to Jesus, he would go and be with his Father to charge him up, to prepare him, to receive the instructions for the day, for the disciples that he was stewarding and shepherding and building up and teaching and equipping. Even he would go and spend time with the Lord before he knew which region to go into. That is something that we've done here in the ministry, the instructions of the Lord. But he also was seen pouring and serving and proclaiming the kingdom of God. But shortly thereafter, he would still go away and depart to be with his Father. So the secret place develops spiritual authority and discernment and confidence, but also dependence on God. Because how can you spend that much time truly with your Father, truly in your heart, but still not depend on him? How can you be in his face? How can he tell you who he is and show you who he is? So him not just talk about it, but he's being about it. And so he shows us how we can depend on him. Our confidence is built here. We build rapport with him. Our discernment is sharpened in this area. We're able to hear his voice and know that it's him speaking. And not, well, I don't know if this is me or if this is God. And if that's you, that's okay. It happens, right? And it's something that you have to train your ear for. So maybe one time the Lord is like, I want you to go and talk to this person. And you don't do it. But you knew that it was him speaking. And then the next opportunity comes and you feel that same fire in your belly, whatever the case is. I know for me, a lot of times when he tells me to do something, I will feel literally like fire go up my arms. And sometimes it's different, but I will feel the manifestation of the Holy Spirit come upon me and I will hear him speak. And that's when I'm like, oh, it's go time. Okay. That's you for sure.
Okay.
Right? And so pay attention even to those different manifestations or even the pattern of his voice in your life. Take note of it. Understand it. Study that. Study his voice in your life. He speaks through different avenues and different ways. And so understand that he wants to lead you, to guide you, but also for you to know him. Weapon number two, the secret place produces strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's actually Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And so waiting on God, it's not passive. Sometimes it can be hard. It's a waiting game. It's like, Lord, what's my next steps? Lord, what do I do? But even if you don't know necessarily what to do, the greatest thing you could ever do is just wait on him and be in him and trust in him and know that heaven is moving on your behalf. Prayer travels. So even where your foot may not naturally be, your words are already going before you. It is the same way with our Father, who is the creator. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Was there not? So waiting on God is not passive, but it is a spiritual exchange. And in the very secret place, our weaknesses are met with his strength. And our fear, any fear that we may develop or any anxiety, any doubt, it is met with his peace. But you have to remember that in order for you to receive that, you have to lay it down. It's a place of transaction. And any confusion is met with wisdom. Any area of disorder is met with his order. Any area of sadness is met with his joy. And so even as I've been going through this, I hope that you're picking up that this is a place, this is a person where everything you need is found. Everything that you need is found in this place. I made mention that I got saved at 18 and I've shared my testimony. I boast in my testimony because I boast in my God. And you know, even when we testify about certain things, we can be bold about it because we know it no longer has a hold on us.
Yeah.
And so people, they would look at me crazy and be like, girl, you did that? Oh, I don't know about. And I'm like, baby, I could care less.
Right.
Because I'm a new creature in Christ.
Yeah.
And so I can boast. Yeah, I used to smoke weed. Yeah, I was addicted to pornography. I was promiscuous. I was lustful. Yeah, I dibbled and dabbled in some things in the world that I shouldn't have. But I'm not speaking from a place of, oh, yes, that's still where I am. No, because what you're looking at is a living and breathing and walking testimony.
Amen.
And when I come before you, I'm speaking to you from the other side.
All right.
So I love it when I'm speaking to people and the Lord has given me an authority in certain areas. So even the area that you're dealing and struggling with, where the enemy has been attacking you with, the very patterns that you see, even in your bloodline, it reveals and it shows a gifting in that area. It shows authority in that area. And so I speak from the other side.
From the other side. That's good, ma'am.
I'm not speaking to you from a place of where I'm at. But I come as an invitation to draw you in. I come as an invitation to draw you in. And so, when I was 18, I found myself battling with a decision. It was a very big decision I had to make. And I knew God. I grew up a little bit in the church, right? My mother was a great example for me in the area of prayer and all that wonderful stuff. But I remember having a deep fire for God, even at a young age, about 8 years old. And I was filled with the gift of speaking in tongues right in our living room. My girl laid hands on me, and I was like, shut up. And I will never forget that day. I'll never forget it. But along the journey, I found myself struggling. And I would even go to church and I would see like the other kids. But even them, they lived a double life. They lived and walked in mixture because of what they saw their parents do. And so all I knew was that I was this 8-year-old kid with this fire and desire. Had no language for it. All I knew was every time I prayed, every time I danced before the Lord, I felt him literally come in the room. And so when I was looking at other kids my age and how they were living, I thought, oh, well, maybe that's okay. Maybe you can cuss a little and still, like, be in the church, singing in choir, all that stuff. You know, maybe I can dibble and dabble in this. And it was completely perverted. It was a false lens. But I remember in high school, I would begin to hear this voice like speaking to me. And I always thought like it was me, but I knew it wasn't me at the same time because this voice carried authority. And every time I followed it, every time I was obedient to this voice, it was like prophetic. So he would tell me things and I'd be like, oh, okay. He'd be like, don't do this, don't do that. And at the time, I did not know it was the Holy Spirit. I did not know it was him. So I end up graduating high school, have this big decision I need to make, college-wise, some other stuff. And I'm praying, and I'm like, God, give me an answer. Like, do you not see me? Do you not hear me, God? You know the motions we go through. And I felt like he was not listening to me. I felt like he did not hear me. I felt like he did not care. And so I was like, you know what? Let me go and try this whole little like manifestation thing. I don't know. And every time I tried, it did not work, and he told me it wouldn't. He said he would literally block it. He said, because I'm preserving you and I'm keeping your gifting. And I did not understand. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Literally for 30 days, I was studying it. But every time he would say, nope, shut it down. Shut it down. I thank God for preserving me, for preserving my life, for keeping me. And so literally, I'm on YouTube and I'm looking at a specific video. And a good family friend of mine, she just posts something and it says, repent. If you've been doing this, if you've been doing that, you need to repent. And usually with a social media post, it's like, you breeze over it. You hear one thing, it goes in one ear, out the other. But for some reason, that stuck with me. And I felt the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And so I'm sitting at my kitchen table with my laptop open, with my phone, looking at this post. And I hear, put your phone down. I turn my phone off and I flip it face down on the table. And literally, I see this ball of light shoot into my kitchen. And I go into a vision. I don't know how long it was. It felt like I was there literally for only a couple of seconds. But I knew that even in a couple of seconds, the Lord was doing a repairing and a restoring in my life. that could have taken 1,000 years in the natural. He did it right there in the spirit. And I found myself literally weeping and crying. And I saw the Lord Jesus Christ in his garments. They were white. They were glowing. And he would not allow me to see his face. And I would always ask him, I'd be like, Lord, why don't you let me see your face? It's just you and I. But when I saw his face, it was glory. It was literally beams shooting out. But I saw his stature. And I saw him standing. And just like how you're in a dream, and you may have never been in a specific place, but it's like you have this knowing of where you're at, or you have this knowing of who you're talking to, or you have this knowing of where you were sent. It was the same way. And I knew it was him. I knew it was him. And he spoke to me 3 times, and he said, everything you need is found in me. He did not open his mouth and say these words to me, but he was speaking to me from his spirit. Spirit to spirit.
My God, you're good.
Spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. And so when he's calling you, when he's speaking to you, he's not solely just calling and speaking to you who you are in the natural, but he's speaking to your spirit. He's speaking to who you are. He's speaking to who you are, not solely just in the earth, being restored, but he's talking to your restored state. He's talking to your restored state. He says, son, I knew you. I knew you. He says, and I know you. Don't be surprised, Kenny. I see manuals in your hands. Manuals in your hands. Secrets literally being deposited into your mind. You don't say much, but the Lord speaks a lot to you. And that's even because of your calling and your identity in Christ. You're going to raise up many. I don't know why I'm seeing like this pastoring, preaching thing. But you're even a shepherd. You're a shepherd. You have a shepherd's heart. He says, I knew you and I formed you before you were in your mother's womb. And when he speaks to you, when I'm speaking to you as his vessel, he is speaking to your restored state. Your restored state. From the very beginning. You keep seeking him. You keep following him. And he loves you deeply. I've said this to you before, but you're his friend. And you're his brother. Continue to tap into that. Weapon number 3. The secret place produces victory over temptation. Jesus actually overcame temptation because he was filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he yielded to the Holy Spirit. When we are tempted, it is not because God tempts us, of course, but it's because of the desires of the flesh. And after 40 days in communion with the Father, Jesus, he ended up facing Satan, and he overcame every temptation with the Word of God. But the thing is, this was not necessarily his first test or even battle. But even as a child, he was in the presence of the Lord. He was growing in stature and in wisdom. He was being processed. So victory in public battles often are won first in private places.
That's good.
Overcome. Overcome in private. And you will see the fruit of it in public. I don't know what your battle is. I don't know what you have talked about and what you haven't talked about, what you've tried to hide, what you have not shared. But because of the Holy Spirit, who is your helper, you automatically have victory. Automatically have victory. So yield to what the Lord is doing in private, and you will see the victory come forth in public. You slay those giants. You slay those giants. You take up your sword, you pick it up, and you slay those giants. Weapon number four, the secret place produces revelation and activates sight. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God reveals things to those who seek him. If you just met someone, you are not going to share the deep things of who you are to them, right? You have to watch them. You have to watch their character. You have to see how they move. It's not something that you just give up willingly. And I wouldn't say it's necessarily like they have to prove themselves to you, because we also don't want to walk in an unhealed place. But it's literally like, I have to know that I can trust you with this. Because if I release it prematurely, or if I share it too early, it could be damaging to you, and it could also be damaging to me. But he says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things. Great and mighty, not the little one, okay? Which thou knowest not. So in this place of revelation and revealing, it is really a veil being drawn back of what he was concealing. Because not everyone can carry the weight and the burden and the depth of what is being shared through the Spirit of God. It comes with a process. It comes with a journey. It comes with trust. Can God trust you? You're asking for more of this and more of that, and more of the secret things of God, and more of the mysteries, and more to know him. And that's beautiful. That's what we should desire, because we literally came from him. But with what he has revealed and showed you about himself, can he trust you with that? If he gives you a word for someone or something, are you quick to just say it and speak it? If he told you, wait, no, don't say that, but you're like, oh, but I just need someone who understands. Oh, God, show me this. I just need someone to just affirm me. I just need someone to just confirm. He's like, I will confirm. I'm affirming you. So he will test you in this area. He will test to see if he can trust you.
You help me today, ma'am.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Glory be to God.
All right.
Jesus. So you like, God only gave me 5 pounds. He don't trust me. No, can you steward that 5 pounds? And he may give you a little 50 pounds of his glory. I don't know.
Come on now.
He'll drop a little something on you.
Yeah, come on.
He wants to be your friend. Friends trust each other. At least they should.
They should.
They should. Right? And so even in the secret place where revelation flows and sight is activated, directions are given, mysteries are revealed, wisdom is released. I made mention that I be in prayer and I be interceding and things of that sort. That's really in the beginning where I saw my sight activated. I had a very strong gift of discerning of spirits as a child, but I did not really see things like spiritually like that. At least not that I know of. But literally, as I was translated into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. Light entered my eyes. And so I was able to see. And so as I spent time before him in his presence, as I spent time in his face, revelation was revealed. Daniel chapter 2, verse 22, he reveals deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Allow God to activate your sight. Allow God to show you what he wants to show you in this place. Allow him to form your gifting. Allow him to reveal things concerning your destiny in this place. It's going to be found here. It's not going to be found on Google. It's not going to be found on your social media posts or whatever the case is. Are you trying to ask somebody, what did the Lord say about me? Who am I called to be? No, he wants to tell you. And you do hear from him. If you are his sheep, you know his voice. He didn't say you might know my voice. He said you know. My sheep know my voice. That is a place of intimacy. So therefore, why would we look for the fruit of intimacy when we are not in the place of intimacy? Weapon number 5, the secret place produces power. Psalm chapter 18, verse 32-34. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high place. Verse 34, he teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. This is also a place of training. Not just by your sight and your ears and discernment and things of that sense, but also warfare. I'll be lying to you if I said, as a follower of Christ Jesus, not just a believer,
all right,
that we are free from warfare. It comes with the territory. When you gave your yes to God, did you count the cost? Did you count the cost? I know I had to. Me either. I had to just go back to the Lord and say, you know what? I didn't know about all this. But I know about it now. I know about it now. So the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You are not weak in the kingdom of God. You have strength. You have power. Dunamis power. To move and to operate. To take hold of. To destroy every altar. Every demonic fortress. Every demon. All spiritual wickedness in high places that contend against you. But also, don't be foolish again in trying to take ownership of even your own strength and warfare, because it will fail you every time. Kings can put their trust in their chariots and their horses, but guess what? We put our trust and our strength in the Lord God. That's what we do. So warfare does come with the territory of your assignment, and you cannot run from it. I'm sorry. I wish I could tell you something different. But even look back on the times where you thought you wouldn't make it, but you're still here. Look back on the times where you were like, Lord, I'm feeling real weak. I think I'm finna throw in the towel. But guess what? You didn't. You kept going. And again, it wasn't because of you. It wasn't because of your strength. It was because of him. He is your strength. It was because of him keeping your mind when you thought you would have lost it. And so in this place, it produces power. It generates power. It charges you with power. Power to overcome. Power to scale walls. Power to leap. Power to war. Power to fight. You started at one point praying for yourself. Ain't that right, Dakari? You will in Jesus' name. And now you're praying for your family. Then you're moving to praying and covering territories. You're moving, operating as a son of God should. And so in this place, he trains us for battle, because battles will come. But guess what? You have already overcome it, and you have the victory in the battle. So every time warfare comes, I don't want you to look at it and run away from it and get scared. But I want you to see the spoils of war that are ahead for you.
All right.
That it is another opportunity for you to be built up. It is another opportunity for you to step into who he needs you to be for the assignment. And so it's hard sometimes.
Yeah.
You gonna cry. You gonna wonder, like, Lord, when? When?
Yes.
When, God?
When?
But there is light at the end of the tunnel, I guarantee you.
Sure.
And there's light with you, because he's with you even in the dark places. He has already armed you with the strength that you need. He has already armed you with the strength that you need. And so faith is built here and fortified to not fail. Fear is broken when you truly yield and you rise up as the warrior and the conqueror that you are. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, not in ourselves, not in our intellect, not in our ability, but in Christ. Do not expect to move and operate in the function of someone who is more than a conqueror if you aren't in Christ, in your mind, in your heart, all the things. So fear is broken off in this area, and your weapons are sharpened. Sharpen your weapons. He's already given them to you. But I don't know, they might be a little dual. That ain't a good thing. But in the secret place, in his face, they are sharpened. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, Ephesians 6, verse 10. And 11. So this power from the Lord, it comes from him and not apart from him. Weapon number 6, the secret place produces transformation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You become like the one you consistently behold of. What are you beholding in this season? What has grabbed your attention? What are you looking at that has snatched your sight to see him? You become the one you behold. And in this place, it changes your character. It changes your desires and your thoughts. Your response is even where you thought, well, it's just who I am. Is it really though? Look at Christ and then look at you. And not in a condemning way. But your character doesn't align with his. Your desires and your thoughts, does it align with his? Your responses, does it align with his responses? Is the Holy Spirit truly speaking and moving through you? Or is it yourself? And even in the topic of transformation, a lot of times God will, before actually, changes your circumstances, he will change you. He's going to change you. I know countless times where it was something on my heart, something on my mind, something I was mad about, whatever the case was. And I go in and I'm praying, and he stops me. Next thing you know, he's like, you need to deal with this. Stop looking at everyone else. Stop looking at this situation and this circumstance that isn't going the way that you thought it would. But allow me to change you and to transform you. Because sometimes the circumstance may change, it may not change. But I guarantee you, as you yield and surrender unto him, he will change you. And even with that comes with a change of perspective. You're going to see things differently. So before, when people would talk crazy to me, I'm cool as a cucumber. It take me a little minute to get upset. I'm going to be real. Cool as a cucumber. You heard that, period. Where I be mad, and I'm fussing and I'm fighting. I'm like, God, I don't understand. But he would redirect his face towards me. When I'd be like, turn your face against them, God. Or look at them, look what they're doing. I don't understand. I'm just mad about it. And yeah, it's a safe place for me to be transparent and to rant and all those things. But a lot of the times he would look. He would just glance over at your girl and be like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. But check your heart posture. Check your heart posture. And so even in this time, you become a lot more sensitive to the heart of God. You think about, you know what? Was this right, Lord? Is this how you feel, God? You do certain things, immediately you feel conviction. In times past where maybe you didn't. Maybe you was like, oh, well, so what? I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, right? And now it's like, oh, Holy Spirit, that hurt you. I'm sorry. I repent. He's recently even had me in a season apologizing and repenting in certain areas for two specific people that maybe I didn't even do anything wrong. That humility, have mercy. Or you think, I didn't even do nothing wrong. It was them. But he'll be like, no. Used to go. Because I'm going to use you as an example.
Come on now, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And so our desire, our utmost desire should be to look like him. To become like him. Because if you gave your yes to him and you're not being transformed, you gave your yes to him and you're not being restored, you're not stepping in to who he's called you to be. You're not carrying out the Great Commission, but you're just sitting there. You're not doing anything. Then what's the point? If you're not carrying out his presence and his glory, it's a lot of people in this world that are comfortable with religion, that are comfortable with just sitting and thinking that they can play God. Thinking that they can just be with him on the weekend. Thinking that they can literally say, oh, he's my Lord and my Savior. But he's not. Again, vain repetitions. Oh, I'm a good person. But look nothing like him. Oh, I love God. But the same mouth that they say they love God is the same mouth that they use to curse him. It should be our desire to fall in love with him more and more every day. It should be our desire to be healed. It should be our desire to be delivered. It should be our desire to come up. Again, so when he's knocking on your heart, it's because he wants to pull out who you already are. but he will meet you with where you're currently at if you just give it to him. Psalm 27, verse 8. I'll be wrapping it up here soon, y'all.
It's so good. Take your time, Pastor.
When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart. My heart said, what is your heart speaking when God is speaking to you? My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I'm going to read that again. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The presence of God is not just for you to get answers or even for you to try to clean up nicely and be like, see, I'm in right standing with you. See, I'm coming to spend time with you. Do I get an A+? Do I get a little sticker? It's not that. It's not a place for us to try to get answers solely. Yes, that will come. Or just blessings, or even breakthroughs in our life. But ultimately, the root of it is knowing him. It's knowing him. And it's knowing his face. I be telling Jesus, I be like, when I get to heaven, I don't be like, wow, that's you? You the one I've been talking to this whole time? Wow. No, I know you here and now. So even when I'm raptured up, or he take me up like Elijah or Enoch or whatever the case is, or when my appointed time comes and the hand of the Lord takes me, when I see him face to face, I don't want to say, wow, it's really you. You look good. Do you remember these conversations we had? No. I want to say, Lord, I know you. I know you. How do I know him? How do you know him? Because you spend time with him and he has revealed his face to you. Even if you've never seen it with your natural eyes, your spirit man has seen him, has seen his glory. So it's for you to seek him, to know him, to walk with him, to receive his presence, to hear his voice, to gain his perspective, to walk in his power. And again, even as I was going through these, I said his presence, his voice, his perspective, his power. And the weapon that is formed in the secret place is not also solely through prayer and fasting or of knowledge, and these are actually pathways. They're ancient pathways that you walk down. Fasting. Yeah. It's a pathway that your spirit man walks down to be consecrated and restored and things of that sort. Even fasting in its sense is not for solely breakthroughs, but just to know him. Yeah. And so may the Lord even restore any cycle of fasting, any repetitious or ritualistic fasting to try to get things. But turn down your plate just to be with your lover.
Come on now.
But the greatest weapon that is actually formed, so I gave you a couple of weapons of things that you will receive in the secret place, but the greatest one ultimately is you. You are the weapon. You are the weapon that is forged in the secret place of the Most High, because you dwell there, because you live there. you walk this earth, you walk this pavement, you walk this ground, and you have access to the dominion and the authority of El Shaddai.
All right.
Because you dwell with him. So you are the weapon that is forged. You are the weapon that is formed. And you receive the weapons that you need here. But it must first start with knowing him. And understanding truly that everything that you need is found in Christ Jesus. So I will go ahead and close out there. But I would like to open up the altar for anyone that is desiring prayer, specifically in the area to go deeper in God, to see his face, to know his face, to fall deeper in love with him, because that love will keep you. Love will keep you. That even when you want to turn, even when you want to give up, it's that love that will pull you back. And so I will go ahead and open up the altar. Even if it's any specific prayer request that you may have, I know that our team of intercessors will be more than willing to pray for you, to cover you.
Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can Cash App us at $flawedfree. On Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.